Morning, everybody. I haven't got my time icon, so I will every now and then do this, that, and you won't be able to hear me. So just shout if I do that. I'm a nightmare with these things. I am going to do the I Am the Vine, which is the last of our I Am series. We're going to do it in an unpluggy way because we are unplugged. It did allow some opportunity to make this interactive or a bit more participative. Please don't spectate and participate. So there will be a couple of things to do where I'd just like you to, as a table, discuss things and write things down on a post-it. So if you could avail yourself of a pen and some post-it notes, if you could resist from making them into paper aeroplanes, Ian, that would be great. We'll break out for a bit of that. Now, the thing I like about the I Am statements and the series is these are Jesus' words, and he said them, and they're important. So it's always worth paying attention. And also, which is true about many of them, is they describe how things work. They describe how things work. And that is very true for I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. We're going to read John 15, 1 to 17. And it really explains how things work. Later I'll be doing an iPhone course. It's all right. I am phone. Oh, good. So, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it can be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his father's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Great verses. And actually, when I was reading this through, because I don't often remember where things are in the Bible exactly and which verses, it's just great to land on that. Oh, that's where that one is. That's where that is. That where is. What a fantastic set of verses. Not very long, but it explains how it works. That's how it works. That's how God works with us. So it's a very simple picture, and I'm not really going to wander far off this. Off this verse. It's got some really powerful pointers for us, and I don't want to get distracted from them. So let's just deal with this literally. The relationship with God the Father, the gardener, Jesus the vine, and his followers, the branches, onto fruit. It feels very direct. It feels very linear. What I mean by that is sort of going one way. It's almost one directional. If you've seen a vine, it's not particularly linear. They tend to go all over the place. But it's just really simple. Without the vine, without the branches being trained and pruned, it would be all over the place. It's not a picture that supports some mad, scattergun, chaotic view of our relationship with God. It's very purpose-driven. It's very intentional. It involves relationship that shapes us. And I want to sort of land on three things, really. It's about the ability, and I would say the inevitability. I can't say that word.
Inevitability.
Certainty of bearing fruit. So don't know, we have the ability to bear fruit. But if you read the verses and if you take the verses as they are, there's a certainty that we will bear fruit. It's about, I would suggest, the location of the fruit. And it's also about spreading Jesus' love. There's three key words that I want to sort of dwell on in this. And they are remain, fruit, and love. And actually, if you read through it, and if you did a word map or a wordle or whatever those things are called, those are the words that come out. They are the words. Just reading the verses, they were the words that struck me. But actually, they are the most used words. Remain, fruit, and love. And the dominant word, the predominant word, is remain. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. You cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. It does seem dreadfully important that we remain in Jesus. If you take nothing else away from this morning, it is that we need to remain in Jesus. And remain's an interesting word, isn't it? When I was sort of dwelling on the word remain, it didn't seem overly ambitious or taxing. It didn't feel like I was being asked to do a lot. I just had to remain. I just had to stay in Jesus. And I guess that reminds us of the verse that Jesus says that my yoke is easy. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that. But when I was reading it, it didn't feel like Jesus was asking a lot of us. We just needed to remain. We just needed to stay. So, activity number one. So, on your tables with your post-it notes, however you want to do it, but try to do it together. But you know that could be a challenge. But have a go. How do you think we remain in Jesus? What are the things that we do that help us to remain in Jesus? Right, I'll give you a couple of minutes doing that. So if you can write your thoughts down on a post-it, they can be your own thoughts, but if you can have thoughts together, that's great too. And then just lay them out on the table. I meant Pete. So while you're having your discussions, it sounds like you're having some really good discussions, so I'll just overlay that with a little complexity for you. As a group, because you hopefully have written a number of things down, they might be different things, it doesn't matter. But as a group, could you just settle on two? Your two most important ones. So when I ask you what are your two, you can come up with two. Well, not now. You've got to come up with your two. The two here as a group you decide are the most important, and I'll ask you to say what they are in a minute.
Oh, sorry.
I know, you just did it. Yeah. So it's a bit of a shame for me to actually interrupt these conversations, but I'm aware that I've got a preach to finish. So shout out your two. So I just should say that there are no wrong answers. All the prizes are imaginary. So, just go for it. This table over here, start off with. Do you want to? Yeah, go on.
Grace, first of all. We need grace to remain.
And keep going, second one.
And?
Oh, I'm checking.
decisiveness, is that one?
Probably. Fellowship. Fellowship.
Grace and fellowship. Thank you. Sorry for being rude to that table.
Keeping a godly focus when away from church. And
who said one word?
Yes, thank you. And abide, be still, and spend time. That was all. Abide, be still, and spend time.
Okay, thank you. Who's the spokesperson here?
Focus and attitude.
Focus and attitude. Okay, thank you. Who's
We've said most of those things, but we thought it's key not to leave his presence in the first place. So it's not having the grace and the fellowship, it's not praying, it's not reading the Bible, it's not spending time in worship or obeying his word. So get and stay in the first place.
Good. It didn't sound like you had a lot of trouble working out what those things could be, even though you've slightly done it differently. As I say, there genuinely is no wrong answer, and I hope the conversations were good. So I'm just going to stay in this verse. So it talks about how do we do this? Well, there's two things mentioned there are lots of ways, but in this verse we're particularly directed to his words and his commands. So just from this verse, you know, his words, and how do we hear Jesus' words? We hear Jesus' words in some of the things that we've been talking about by reading his Bible, listening to the Holy Spirit, in prayer, in worship. Those are the ways that we hear Jesus' words. And keeping his commands. So what are these? Well, there are lots of those as well. We're not going to break out again to do that. But there are lots of commands. There are many. But the most important one, again, is contained within this verse, with these verses, which is almost the all-encompassing commandment, isn't it? It's that we love one another. So I'll just leave those two with you. The second dominant word is fruit. And the whole purpose of the vine is to bear fruit. That's the whole purpose of a vine. Lots of it. And this is primarily achieved through the branches, which is you and I. That's the picture. By staying connected to Jesus, by remaining not connected, no fruit. It's very logical. When I was taught this passage years and years ago, there was always a lot of emphasis placed on if a branch does not bear fruit, it will be cut off. And it was very threatening and pessimistic. And, you know, it was very, you know, made you feel pretty grim about yourself. But I prefer verse 5, which says, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Not only is this more positive, but it's a much more encouraging statement that if you focus our efforts on remaining, something I think we can achieve and do, then the fruit is an inevitable outcome of that remaining. I guess what I'm saying is, put your efforts into remaining, don't put your efforts into fruit. If we remain in Jesus, there is almost a certainty around the fruit. The other thing to take note of, I think, is that there's another aspect, is it's not just fruit, it's just not little fruit, it's much fruit. That's what the verse says. It says we will bear much fruit. And I guess I'm just saying words, but I want you to get the picture of the vine. So hopefully you all know what a vine looks like. It comes out of the ground. It has got a bit of a sort of trunky thing, and then it breaks off into branches, and then it gets thinner and thinner, and it eventually gets to tendrils, and it will go anywhere. It will go anywhere. That's how a vine works. And they have to be tended and pruned. So Helen will tell you that I'm very good at pruning. Louise will tell you I'm very good at pruning. Occasionally I'm allowed in the garden, unsupervised, to prune. I am a rubbish gardener. Thankfully, our Father in heaven is a much better gardener than I am. But I will prune the wrong things. I will kill things. I'm even known to prune a finger. which is why I referenced Helen. So, and bless her, Alison was, they were having some sort of prayer thing, I think, and I rang up and knocked on the door because half my finger's fallen off because I just managed to prune my little finger. Louise was out having coffee somewhere, she didn't care. But I was sorted, thankfully. So I'm not very good at pruning, but thankfully our father is. But that's how the vine works, isn't it? Is that it's the branches are pruned, and it promotes growth. It directs the growth, and then at the end of the growth, it bears fruit. And I just want you to think about. Sorry, I've got myself a little bit over the place. So I just want you to think about where Jesus has taken you so far. Where have you grown? Where has your branch grown and you've borne fruit in the past? Where are you now? And what is the fruit that God is producing in you now? And also in faith, where would that be in the future? I don't think this is a static picture at all. I think the idea of this picture is that, you know, as we grow, we find ourselves in different places. And we bear fruit in those places, and we interact with different people, and that won't be the same as it was 10 years ago. It won't be the same as it is now, and it won't be the same in X years. Hence, it's a moving story. God is gardening; he's tending us. We've done something here. Next thing is there's some fruit needed over there. God will tend us to get to there and bear fruit there. So I just want you to have that in your mind, that this isn't sort of, oh right, I've here, I've done it, I've bear fruit, that's it now. That's not how it works. Next season, where are you? Where's God directed you to? What fruit is being born there? So, chance for me to probably go to the toilet now, had a drink. So, next activity. So, what is this fruit? Okay with that question? What is the fruit? Okay, I'm going to sort of close this one off. Again, if you could... I'm not going to ask you to replay this one. I just need to move on a little bit, and I do want to do one more of these. So, did you have good conversations on your table? That's the right answer. No, it was awful. So there are many forms of fruit. Well, let's do it. Let's go round. Let's do it. So let's start over here. So can give me two fruits.
Bringing God's kingdom to where we are, like the light in the darkness, yeah. And being Jesus to others by actions and words.
Okay. Very good. Over here.
You wrote them down. Oh. Okay, so we had the kingdom of God as well. We felt that was really important. But character.
Very good. Very good.
Well, we actually quoted the Galatians 5 scripture, because the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we should all have. And then we talked about the going outside of ourselves to the widows, the orphans, the poor, etc. Where we get the fruit.
Let's say it again. Which
did it? Can I just shout instead?
No, it's okay. So we quoted the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23, which is what we should all have within us in order to then go out and see fruit outside of ourselves. So when we go out and we feed the poor and see the widows and orphans, which we're called to do in Scripture, that's where we will see fruit. But we may not see it. We may just sow the seeds of the fruit.
Thank you.
Becoming more like Jesus. And the salvation of others, but that's probably already been said.
This is a bit of a cheat, isn't it, this preach? I just get up and say a few words and I get you all to do the work. But I know. But it was just too much of an opportunity to miss. Result! So again, there are many forms of fruit, and the things that come from the table are excellent. And again, I've just stayed in the verses that I've read, because The most important fruit is love. The most important fruit is love and showing Jesus' love. Sorry, I'm suggesting that. So let's go on to our last piece, which is love. And my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Friends now, not servants. Not like workers in the vineyard, but friends. So much more intimate, so much more in the know. I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. How did I get to be a friend of God? How did I get to be a friend of God? I don't remember it's anything that I've done. I don't think there's anything I merit in my life that means I should be a friend of God. But because he loves me, and I recognised that, and I responded to that unmerited love. That's my only qualification for being a friend of God, a friend of Jesus. So we won't do the other activity, I'm keeping an eye on the clock, but the other activity, what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus? Do you even think of yourself as being a friend of Jesus? It's quite powerful, isn't it? That just that one thing to take away, that, you know, Jesus, I would have been happy just to be in the club, just to be in the kingdom. But I'm more than that. I'm a friend. It's really something. Back to our vine. Love is the sap that flows from the vine to the branches. And it's in the branches that produce the love fruit that touches people's lives. Jesus is loved by the Father. He loves us. We are called to love one another as he also loved. And that's sacrificial love. We remain in his love. We are connected to this love flow. And it produces love fruit. Now, these aren't words I would normally use. They're a bit twee and they're a bit cheesy. But it's exactly how it works. There is a love flow. We are connected to that love flow and we produce love fruit. And we have to appreciate the magnitude of the words here. Jesus has chosen you and me and connected you into God's kingdom. He calls us friends, not servants. We need to allow God's love to flow through and let it be the trigger for our actions. And this is a sort of verse that or phrase that God has laid on me, and it's for me as well as you. We've got to allow God's love to flow through us and let that be a trigger for our actions. And this will lead to you being generous and kind, compassionate, gentle with people, forgiving, patient. Sounds a bit like a list I've heard before. Sounds like how Jesus is with me. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things or such things there is no law. And not just for weddings. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You can't get tired of that verse, can you? Just can't get tired of that verse, because that's how we're loved. That's how we're loved, and that's how we need to love others. It's great to be loved like that, isn't it? It really is. And we, you know, in our worship, we worship Jesus and we worship God, and that's how he loves us. And we know we're loved like that. It's harder to let that flow through and love others in that way. But that's what we're called to do. That's our fruit. That's that love fruit. So in these verses, Jesus is giving us a living picture. The vine and the branches and the activity of the gardener are all ongoing. They're all carrying on. We are being tended. We are being redirected. Paths are closed off. Paths are opened up. We are growing. So, just in conclusion, if we remain in Jesus, we will bear his fruit where he wants us to be, to show his love. Amen.